I'm joined in studio by Tony McCall. Tony is the Programme and Relationships Manager for CCAT. Tony, good morning.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk about?
We're going to talk about CCAT, based in East and South Cork, and what we've done over the last couple of years.
Okay.
So I suppose I'm here today just to go through some of the highlights that we've just published a document there recently, the 2016 to 2017 impacts report.
Okay.
And what we've just kind of synopsized a number of the areas that we've worked with over the last couple of years into various sectors. And a lot of people in Yall would know us for specific things in terms of employment supports and maybe some supports to local projects such as the Clock 8 and that. But I just want to give an idea of what the area that we go beyond that as well. And I suppose just in terms of our geography initially, it might be just interesting to highlight that we cover the area from Yall Bridge right over to as far as the peri-urban of Cork City and skirt around that into Cove and Harbour area right up to the Kerry border into the Muskerry Gaeltacht as well. So it is quite a large geographic area that we have here as well. And I suppose just in terms of the type of work that we do, we've done a lot of work in terms of supporting enterprise and had some notable projects in the last couple of years, particularly working with female entrepreneurs trying to encourage female entrepreneurship and getting people back into work, getting women back into work in particular. And we also work generally with new business starts. And just in the 2 year period alone of 2016-17, we helped 47 new businesses to start up from scratch. And I suppose there's a lot of input in that as well, and work behind the scenes with people who come in with their initial business idea, to getting them in and off the ground and getting them into a sustainable and viable business.
Of all those businesses, was there any specific area?
No, a lot of them would be kind of, some of them would be kind of spin-off trades related, people who've come out of construction and are trying to set up a kind of a niche industry or a niche kind of business for themselves. Some of them might be food related. There's a lot of food startups that would be in that mix as well. And trades related, really, that would be the kind of general theme.
And as regards the area geographically, would you find any area which would be more prominent than others? Because we often hear that where we are here is not the best, and
on both sides of us.
we've got Middleton and Dungarvan, who are more affluent, maybe.
Yeah, we've had quite a few. It's small businesses. I mean, I've one or two in Yall. There's some of these are just one to two people. There's a play therapy service work which helps children with cognitive, social, and behavioural problems. Shelley who would have that Play to Grow business here in Yall as well. So we started working with her a number of years ago. There's a lot of kind of sole traders who've been given assistance. A lot of people who were in the kind of the IT side of things would be, and you can, I suppose, outreach work in Yall as well, and a lot of those businesses will come through from our point of view as well, you know.
Okay.
Yep. So I suppose working through then, we also have worked with people, I suppose, trying to get people back into into employment, back into jobs. And we've come through a very tough recession, as people know. So I suppose our kind of key years of operation in that zone really were between 2012 onwards. I think over, particularly if we're talking about just the last 2 years, I think we've worked hard in terms of the numbers that I have pulled together there in the last month or so has shown that we've got just shy of 310 people into full-time and part-time jobs in that kind of, I suppose it's really a 20-month period, which I think is quite a significant output there, quite a significant result. And that has been everything from us providing life coaches and job coaches, to providing CV workshops, interview workshops, just tips on how to approach employers, and just looking at helping people to assess their skills and what their background is, getting people back into education, those who've come out of sectors that are now no longer very viable in terms of future jobs, and retraining and reskilling them, so directing them all the way through. So in a lot of cases, our clients that we see on a one-to-one basis, and we stay with them for almost a year, and sometimes 2 and 3 years in some cases where people might need a little bit more assistance. So I think that's we're proud of that result, and I think it stands for itself, as well as the business startups as well. That's obviously another route out of unemployment.
Okay. Now, I've heard it said on many occasions by people who apply for jobs that they don't get any they don't get any reply. They could hand in CVs all over the place.
Do you come
across this?
You would, and I think what we're coming across, the trends that we're observing in the last 2 years in particular are people over the age of 50, 55 are finding increasingly that they're, I suppose, being ignored in the employment market.
Well, I can tell you that's going on now since God was a child.
It's going on for quite a while, but I suppose it's becoming increasingly difficult. And what we're trying to do is, if for that age grouping in particular, is to bring in, I suppose, look to focus on the skills, the gaps there in their skill set, particularly on IT. You might find that
it's an employer's market.
It really is.
But there are
different types of jobs, I suppose, and we're trying to make sure that people who are going in, they're certainly better equipped. And if you can fill the gaps, there's some literacy issues in some cases, but there's also IT literacy, and I think that IT gap is growing, particularly for a generational sort of a thing, you know, that people are falling behind in terms of where the younger generations are. Yeah, but that's
is he pointing the finger to himself? Things
move so quickly, as you know yourself, in the world of technology. So it's trying to keep people. So we basically try and, I suppose, develop and tailor supports as we see these gaps emerging and try to get in there as quickly as possible. So a lot of it is IT, as well as career development, career coaching, and just skills assessment to see if somebody's gone into a specific job from a very early age and found themselves stuck there and then found themselves out of a job and redundant. Just to look at what their skill sets are that they actually haven't actually tapped into before, and then to try and work on those and move them forward in a slightly different direction, you know.
Do you find that you have any new concepts coming on board? Do you have new ideas? Do you have any, like, revolutionary...
From an employment point of view?
But people with ideas. Do you come across anybody...
Occasionally you'll get people who are sort of tapping into external markets from a different point of view. There was a guy who had set up a very, very lucrative business working on, I think, trying to develop trade links with China. And he was a guy who was unemployed here for many years. And he just threw himself back into trying to look at the Irish kind of selling point is. Mm. And he sold was just a concept, an idea of doing business in a very kind of a positive way. And for some, I think, be it luck as well as his own sort of communication skills, the Chinese market absolutely loved it. He sold books. He was on Chinese television. He was on how to trade, basically, with the Western world.
So it does happen.
And this guy absolutely took off, and he's still out there, and he's still doing very well.
Great.
From meagre beginnings. But you don't have to have the huge success stories either. I think that the big stories are people who have been literally down on their luck for many years, and who get a solid idea, decide to take a gamble on it and move, because it is a big risk. You know, people come off the safety net, come out of, a lot of people go on this thing called Back to Work Enterprise Allowance, which is a little bit of a safety net for 2 years so they are retaining some sort of social welfare support while they operate their business and set up their business. But look, it's still a jump. They still have to look at their family needs and the family finances and you know, just make sure that it's going to be viable for them. And I think hats off to people who do that, because they are the bread and butter of places where there isn't huge kind of industrial or manufacturing jobs or even pharma jobs, especially in a place like Yall, you know.
Okay. How does that work now? Supposing somebody goes on this, you know, he has this 2-year safety net, as you say.
Yeah.
Supposing the worst happens and it goes belly up or whatever.
Does he become...
We've often heard it said that if you're self-employed, you get nothing from the state.
No, you'll go back into a kind of a job seeker's. You're means tested again. You go back into a job seeker, so you don't lose your ability to draw down a benefit.
Which I think is probably very important.
Which is good. So that's the worst case scenario. But I mean, you try to make sure that the supports are in place for that person to make sure. And there are other supports, enterprise support grants that come in behind that the DSB also can offer. But a lot of people don't know about this, so that's where CCAD comes in. We have very, very well-skilled job employment officers who can bring them through all the steps of what their benefits, what they can access in terms of financial and in terms of soft supports as well. And I think that's important. It's kind of like to help people navigate through a very, very thick maze of supports that are out there, you know, and that people don't generally know about. So that's kind of on the employment things. And I suppose just as additional to that, it's interesting to see we've kind of made a few different leaps into new areas of work ourselves in the last couple of years. And a new initiative that we're working on is called Wild Work. Which is a new biodiversity type of initiative that we've developed. We've got a couple of ecologists working with us, and there's some interesting areas that it's basically a partnership with about 30 to 40 corporate employers in the Cork Harbour area, where we're developing, I suppose, man-made pollinator corridors, and it's about trying to make sure that we look after the sustainable environment around us. And a lot of those is about retaining the bee and the bee population. This is slightly off our normal sort of radar, I suppose, but it's an area that's hugely, it's making huge inroads. We're getting a huge interest level from local companies who are taking us on board to develop biodiversity plans for their local, for the areas around their companies.
Okay.
And it's about giving something back in their own corporate social responsibility. But interestingly, connected into an area, into the social inclusion side of it, which is where I'm mostly involved myself, is that we're trying to combine the wild work and our ecologists' kind of skill set to bring people who may be a little bit further back again from accessing employment and who may be experiencing any number of issues, including mental health issues, and to bring them into the outdoors and into the nature, and to use that as a kind of a channel to develop confidence and self-esteem and maybe personal kind of confidence building teamwork, and get them back on track. So using the kind of channel of nature and being outdoors, I suppose learning about what it is to be outside, but using that as a channel to get themselves back on track. And we're trialling a few of these kind of what we're called therapeutic pathways programs over the next 12 months, and that they should be interesting. And we're going to try and do one in the All area as well, which would be great, I think,
sure,
if we can get
yeah.
it off the ground. So there's a couple of new initiatives there. And I suppose as well as that, we work directly with the schools in our last social inclusion programme, which just finished at Christmas, and we're embarking on a new whole cycle now. We've done a lot of work with second level schools in the area, in particular the DESH schools in the disadvantaged areas in Middleton and Cove. But we also work here with the secondary school, Pubblescull, in terms of providing just very sort of first level supports to first and second year students in the area of positive mental health. So we have a number of motivational speakers, a lot of sports psychology guys who really resonate with the kids of that age.
They'd actually look up to these people anyway.
They do. They have, and they've got, and a lot of them would be well known. A lot of these are kind of, they might be kind of ultra marathon guys, or they might be just kind of general sports stars that they would connect with. But these guys have got superb skills and developed and kind of fine tuned their skills in providing just, I suppose, a toolkit for youngsters in particular who are struggling and who are just trying to maintain a positivity. And as we all know, there are a lot of issues, especially in the age group, among young boys in particular as well. It's just instilling a sense of, you know, if I don't feel well, these are the tips that I can do. These are the techniques I can employ to actually work around. And we found that the teachers, the transition year heads, the principals, and the students, more importantly, have found this enormously beneficial. It's just a pity we can't do more of it, actually, because
but everybody has to come together in this.
There's no point in
somebody not putting in a certain amount of effort in this.
It's a mutual benefit for the schools as well, because I mean they're crying out for additional supports in terms of being able to. So we go in and we don't do this on a one-to-one, obviously. So there would be a group of 20, 30, 40 kids in a room. But every child will take something different from a session like that. They'll take, you know, if it resonates with them, they will take that away. And I suppose it's just about opening up the dialogue, keeping the conversation going. If somebody kind of connects with that, they're not feeling well, they know that they're given a list of what they can do. They have their signposting involved. Once children and youngsters in particular know that they're not alone, I think that's a key message there. So we've done a lot of work in that area. And then I suppose we've got some good engagement strategies that we've kind of pulled on in the last few years as well. One is a very interesting collaboration with the Cork Film Centre and the Arts Office of Cork County Council, where we work with Cork young filmmakers. And the Pubblescull here is very well known in this whole sector as well. And we've hosted the Young Filmmakers Festival here in the Mall Arts Centre over a number of years. I did the presentation of awards myself last April. Pubble Skull in Youghal featured very strongly in that circle as well. And essentially, it's 11 years of collaboration where we target young second-level schools and youth groups, so the Foroigas of the world and the CDYSs of the world. And it's really a kind of a youth activation and well-being initiative where the Cork Film Centre experts come in and they impart their filmmaking skills. And it's a lot of it is about the bringing the children together to kind of in a team situation to develop, and they actually develop and produce their own film clip. It may be 3 to 4 minutes. Now I sat through and I watched about 25 of these 3 to 4 minute clips through this festival last year.
Okay.
And some of them were outstanding. Some of them were amazingly creative.
I thought you were going to say something.
Some of them were awful. A lot of them were based on this horror kind of blood and guts type thing, which seemed to be a fixation on a certain age category, which I found an eye-opener. But some of them were just, I mean, there is, you know, it's great. It brings out the creative. And I suppose the focus wasn't, the end product wasn't the film in itself, while some of them were very good. But it was about the kids coming together to make something and produce something and use it as a channel to build their confidence, to talk to each other and to open up as well. So we found that that as a means was a very, very useful kind of one. Five minutes of fame, and they got their clip at the end of it, and they were, some of them went on to win prizes. And they had the guy Peter Foote, the director of The Young Offenders, which is currently showing on RTE as well.
To talk to all the
schools who were involved in it. So there, you know, there's somebody who they can kind of see who's made it big, who actually was coming down. So a lot of it is about, you know, and there was great skills learned. So very, very worthwhile project, and that's going to continue this year. And I suppose we've worked in Youghal. We're working at the moment in conjunction with the Limerick Institute of Technology. And that is just, I suppose, before to wrap it up a little bit here, we rolled out a pilot initiative called Wellbeing in the Community in Youghal finished in December 17. We're hoping to run another in April, May, June period, where we're going to look at targeting people specifically in certain residences around the town. And it's really about getting people in to look at supporting their own sort of mental health with a view to eventually being able to give something back to their own community.
Okay.
So it's about developing peer support and developing peer networks. So we all know that there's a shortage of kind of community-based mental health supports. And what I call it is general well-being supports, because mental health we all want. So it's about general well-being. So it's about developing a toolkit for people to be able to help themselves first with a view to helping others around them going forward. So we've piloted that, and we're going to roll out a second run of that hopefully in the next while. But we'll be promoting that and targeting people very specifically over the next few weeks, and a lot of that information will be available through our own website, ccad.ie, and we'll also be sending out, we'll be messaging it on Facebook and the usual social media channels as well.
So we've covered a multitude here.
We have
morning.
Got a lot in there now, we have really.
Tony
McCall,
could
go on.
I know you could, and you're on a roll there, but Tony McCall, Programme and Relationships Manager for CCAD, thanks very much for coming to me this morning.
Thank you very much.